This is the undiluted Word of God. Listen and be blessed.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We magnify you, Lord. We exalt you. We thank you for the price you paid on the cross. We ascribe all praises, all dominion, all adoration, all power unto you. We thank you, O Lord, for redeeming us. We thank you for the power in the blood. We bless your holy name for the price you pay for our salvation. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, even as we go into your word, Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit divine, speak to every one of us individually in the mighty name of Jesus. Let none leave this place the same, O Lord. Let us leave this place fulfilled. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Please help me to appreciate the choir. That was a wonderful procession. God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to also seize this opportunity to thank the pastor and the leaders for the opportunity to stand there before you. I'm not taking it for granted. I'm stepping into a big office. It's like somebody saying, come and sit on my seat. Take control of my office and make decisions. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless the pastor and pastor misses. Your ministry will not fade away in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to be talking about the blessings of the new you. That is the topic. The blessings of the new you. Hallelujah. The blessings of the new you. But we're going to pray. Because like I said, I believe so much in the power of prayer. There is nothing I depend on except prayer. I have seen a lot and I've fought battles. Both spiritually and physically. And I have an understanding that the spiritual rules the physical. And when I say battles, I have seen God in action. And I have seen demons and the powers of darkness in action. And I can compare and make a choice that which one is the best for me. Hallelujah. When I was growing up as a very young Muslim and I started to learn Arabic, one of my clergy, I'm not going to go into Arabic, don't worry, because I know many of us will be saying, what is he talking about when I started talking about the Quran or reciting the Quran? You can't understand. So even though if I'm lying to you, you will know, oh yeah, he knows it. That is not true. Praise the Lord. So we're not going to go deeper into that. But one of the things he did then was that I was saying that I'm not a brilliant student in school. Then he told me that, oh, we're going to be reading a surah called Qaidat Shahada. And there is something they have to do. I'm not going to go deeper into that. When they want to read that surah to prepare for somebody who is asking for knowledge, they put it on a white paper. They write it on a white paper. The man going to a prayer session for 3 days must not see the sun. And then they will bring a fire, like, you know, even a candle fire, or like a fire of a firewood. They will put it, the fire will begin to burn. And they will smash a raw egg, put it on that white paper, and place it on that fire. If you have anyone who is very knowledgeable when it comes to the thing of Islam, you can ask them. I am not joking, and this is not a hearsay, it's not a guess. That paper is not going to burn, and that egg will begin to boil. Hallelujah. It will begin to boil. Then when the egg begins to boil, you can see the egg cooking. Then they will do until you drink the until first, then you take the egg and you swallow it. It's not going to burn your mouth. It goes. And they tell you to go to the exam hall. Hallelujah. Now let me leave that. I won't go deeper into that. Moving away from that, when it comes to the powers of darkness, as a young person, I was reckless. And I mean reckless. Very reckless. And I was looking for things that when I enter an area with my gangs, we've got to take control. And for you to do that, you can't do that just by just talking. It's either you do that with your physical strength. I spend a lot of time in the gym. So that even when they see me, they're like, wow, one blow, seven die. Then after you move away from that, you move to another session. You begin to do jazz. They call it jazz in Nigeria. They do some insertion for you, some on your head, some on your hand. And one of the one I remember very, vividly is the one they will do with something in my language. They call it ewedu. Botanical name is Elusin indica. They will cook it and then you eat it. And when you go into fight with your mate, there is no way they can lift you because your body will be drawing. When they grab you, your body will just draw. And the person's arms goes away. Does that make sense? Then you do another one. When you go into an area fight where they can actually easily break a bottle, or maybe they are going to stab you, and the person stabs you and realize that nothing is happening, no blood is coming out, you do that as well. Now, all these things can expire. They will expire. The reason they are going to expire, I will tell you, for every blood that is not the blood of Jesus, for every animal, they will manifest their creation. Am I making sense? So if you do jazz with a chicken, and they say, oh, this jazz, we do this for you. You know what a chicken does? When they enter anywhere, they use their legs to scatter things. That's what you will experience. That must be manifest at one point or the other. If they use snail, for those who come from my mother's side, they call it asege, to do anything for you. Maybe you want to be pregnant. When those children are born, they'll be very slow in learning. You know why? Because a snail will manifest in them. I am telling you this because as a Christian, you need power. You have to understand the price Christ paid. But when Christ came with the powers of darkness, he subdued them. And he said he has given you power. So ask yourself a question that you need to answer. Do you think you have that power? Hallelujah. Do you think you have that power? It's not about having a first degree, having MSc, having PhD, coming out with a first class, getting a good job. It goes beyond that. Amen? Because the places you are going to go, I was sharing with someone, and I think I shared this with the prayer champions. I went for a meeting last year, September, with the Association of the Witches and the Witchcrafts in the United Kingdom. This is not a joke. September last year. And I sat at the meeting. The meeting lasted. And they were talking about how they dominate places of works, you know, in the United Kingdom, how they dominate, how they take control. And one of them, I can remember vividly, said she's been practicing witchcraft and divination for 25 years, which was passed over to her by her parents from generation to generation. Now, what am I trying to say? You work with this kind of people in your place of work, but you do not know. And that's why sometimes I get tired of people saying there's a problem in your place of work, specifically with people that come from my mother's side. Me o fewa alao. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6. Mida, can you help us? Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going into the message. I just want to let us understand what you are into as a Christian. Then said, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a youth. Verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. The Bible says, suffer not the witch. Don't spare them. Because in the book of John chapter 10, John 10, what does he say? He said, the thief has come to do what? To steal and destroy. So I'm not playing. You come with fire, return fire. I'm not interested, you know. God has said we should forgive them. Yes, God has said we should forgive them. But what thing Jesus did not do to Judas? He never saved him. He left him to destruction. Why can't Jesus say, okay. Don't worry, guy. Come back. Don't commit suicide. He left him. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about the new you. When you come in contact with Jesus, everything must change. But what we have today is that a lot of Christians are not even born again. It's a taboo. They don't want to hear the word born again. They say, don't worry, I'm born into a Christian's home. My parents are pastors. And I was saying to people, my generation, from the age of 40 to 50, they are the one that is destroying the coming generation. Why? When I was growing up, one of the things I saw before I gave my life to Christ was Christians. All those elderly women, when you're still at home, I don't know if they still do it, because now everybody is carrying a digital phone. That even inside the digital phone, there is a Facebook of a naked person. And you are thinking you are carrying the Bible, put it there, you are wasting your time. Why? Because in those Bible, when somebody steal, they put a key, they wrap it up, and they begin to roll. I've never seen them missing it. And it will point to the person that has stolen. Are we doing it today? When we want to eat, in those days, when they want to eat, they will make sure that brothers and sisters eat in the same plate. You know why? Just to foster the power of love and unity. They will fight. They will become friends. When they grow up, they grow up with that. What is happening today? Kainde is there eating in his bedroom. Taiwo is there eating in his bedroom. And they have no connection. They are not talking while they are eating. That's how I grew up. That's what I met in Christianity. That's where Christianity is missing it. Because there is no power. Because we threw away the understanding. Hallelujah. We are going to pray before I continue the message. And that's why today we see a lot of things happening to Christians. And battle has no boundary. There is nothing like an anointed man. Battle will face an anointed man. He will destroy his ministry. Because there is no power. Why? Because the only thing people want to listen to is what they want to hear. Not what God or the Holy Spirit is saying. And that's why we're missing it. So my generation destroyed them. How? When I was going to get an admission, my parents didn't follow me. I went, I did everything. I came back, I said, I've got admission. They gave me the money. I went to pay for school fees. What do you have today? A boy of 18 is going to school. The parents will follow him there. They will even be fighting for him. The boy will just stand there like that. He knows nothing. What else? They go into a prayer room and begin to pray. Father, concerning my children, why not teach the boy to pray? They can't even read Psalm 23. But if you ask them, what is the next title of the song that Beyonce is bringing out, they know it. Why not empower them? Timothy, at the age of 17, Paul was proud of him. Can you be proud of your children that even when they come in contact in school with another mate, they can stand and say, no, I'm standing against you. Some of them will cry and call their mom. There's a boy bullying me. Bully me in school. I'll come back home and tell my dad, somebody beat me in school. My dad will look at me. As he's looking at me, he's getting angry. And he will beat me to a state of stupor. And he will tell me that next time you want to come back to me, let it be your teacher that will say, your son has beaten somebody, the person is about to die. My good son. So what do we have today? Powerless children. And the parents are thinking they are doing the right thing. That is not Christ-like. Hallelujah. That is not Christ-like. And that is why we can see that a lot of Christians today are even naked without them knowing they are naked. Because they are fighting a battle that is making them to be naked. A battle of disgrace. Hallelujah. I was dealing with a case not too long ago, a 24-year-old sister bedwetting. And I said to her that, do you know what the enemy has done to you? They are taking away the purpose of God for your life. Because no man is going to marry you. But do you believe that this is possible to be taken away? She said yes. So we go into a prayer. Can you fast? She said, I've never fasted before. 24-year-old. To the glory of God, the Lord delivered her. And through that battle, she came to know Christ. And there are many people today that even if it's some terrible dreams, they get scared. Some people don't even know the interpretation of a dream. That if this simple thing happened in my dream, this is what it means. I was asking somebody not too long ago, a worker in the church. I said, if you had a dream that your shoe was taken away, what does it mean? She said, I don't know. I said, have you been learning? Said no. I said, once your shoe is taken away, you miss the day of your celebration. It's as simple as that. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So it is impossible for any Christian that does not have power to experience the new you. Hallelujah. So there are blessings when you come in contact with Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You cannot put a new wine into an old skin. Now, are you the kind of person that are still celebrating the culture and the tradition of your family? And yet, you are saying you have given your life to Christ. You are wasting your time. When they tell you that there is a masquerade, that it has been taken over by your great-grandfather, and you have to do it, you will say it doesn't matter. Then you go and put yourself inside the masquerade clothes. And things begin to happen to you, and you are asking questions. So you cannot take Christ on board and have another thing on board, because you have become a new creature. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. The Bible says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for drought. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. What am I trying to explain to us? Peter, who is called Simon, when you look at him, he has not changed. But his thinking changed at that moment. So when you come in contact with Christ, everything, your understanding must change. If you are saying that I've been going through this battle for long, what he's saying to you is that I'm in it now. Launch the net, because your story is going to change. And I believe somebody's story is going to change in the name of Jesus. So the new you, in John chapter 3, verse 3, John 3:3, the Bible, it said, Jesus answered and said, this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, media. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, that means guaranteed, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Some of us don't even know the kingdom. So if you are not born again, when I mean born again, there is no two way to it. I mean being born again, accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That is when the whole thing changes. It took me over a year to become born again after I had a contact with Jesus. Now, let's get this understanding. There is a difference between having a contact with Jesus and being born again. So for over a year, I was struggling. I was incarcerated. And the Lord appeared to me, massive angel, and said, if only you can follow this path, I will deliver you. And I said, okay. But I began to struggle because I used to be reckless. I used to party Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I used to believe that for me to get rid of hangover, I have to take another set of alcohol. That's my belief. I have to believe that if I don't take marijuana, I won't be able to write properly in the exam. I was deceiving myself. Exam day, 30 minutes before the time. Guys, let's disappear. Shark, come back, enter the exam hall, and begin to write. Nonsense. So I begin to struggle with all those things. I wouldn't let go. And there are other things that were there. My friends, even some today, this will interest you. We had a wedding in Bradford recently. Somebody came to me and said, wow, I haven't seen you for almost 15 years. I said, it's been a long time, bro. What's going on? You know what he said to me? I was looking at him. I said, my wife is here. Are you in Shirue now? Waiting to do you. As I did so, I looked at him. I was saying to myself, how do I preach Christ to him? Because the only thing that I think he deserves is a big slap. You are talking to me, you know. And that was what he was talking to me all about. But I was just laughing. And I was just listening. I said, at some point, I had to say to him, I said, do you realize that I'm born again? Deliberately. He said, I know. You know me too, I'm born again now. Ah! I'm telling you. That's 3 weeks ago. So my friends, that's another battle on its own. Who would doubt you that you? They doubted Paul. They saw him. No! He can't give his life to Christ. He's too reckless. Somebody that was killing people. And that is the story. But for some, they said to me, if God can save you, no. I need to be saved too. So different story for different folks. Hallelujah. So when you come in contact with Jesus, the new you, what are you going to experience? Quickly. Number one, new beginning. He will give you new beginning. Romans 3:23-24 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. He paid the price. There is nothing anything can do for you except the power in the blood. That was what made Satan to lose the battle in heaven. He could not present blood. Not the blood of duck, not the blood of chicken, not the blood of any animal. Number two, you will experience new relationship. The benefit of the new beginning of the new you is a relationship and a new fellowship with God. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were all at one point far from God because of our sin. However, in Christ, all that has changed. Being a new creature means you can now draw near. It gives you access to his presence. Number three, it gives you a new name. Genesis 17:5, we see how he changed the name of Abraham. Genesis 17:15, we see how he changed the name of Sarah from an ordinary woman to a noble woman. Hallelujah. He changed the name of Jacob to Israel. He changed my name. When I say he changed my name, I'm not saying it for hearsay. I have to change my name. And it took me 10 years with struggle. Because the Lord is saying to me, what is the meaning of your name? I have to ask my parents. And when they told me, some of you are still carrying names from your great-grandfathers. You know, some people are even bearing their great-grandfather's name. The error you make when you have children or when you just have a baby, you are saying, I'm going to name my child after my mother, you know, that I passed away, or my great-grandfather or whatsoever. I'm asking you a question. That person you are talking about, in his lifetime, did not even succeed, did not do anything achievable. Did not even build a house, and you want to name your child. What's the child going to be doing? He's going to, maybe even the man was a deity worshiper. Then the boy will start manifesting it. Think about it. I was saying to someone recently that when was the last time you find a Christian when they are naming their child, and they named the child, let's say, within the last 5 years, and they named the child Samson. If you know any, please let me see your hand. And I'm asking, why is it that people don't want to name their children Samson anymore? The one who says to me, because he's a failure. As at the time we were naming people Samson, we did not have understanding. Seriously, you know he's a failure. He did not listen to his parents. The purpose that he's supposed to achieve has been told. He refused, he does everything wrong. And he asked for God to give him the last strength. And he died there. He says, nobody, now a lot of Christians are having understanding. Does that make sense to anybody? So what is your name that was given possibly from your village? And the name is tied to a deity. And it will manifest wherever you go. Because battle has no boundary. Spiritual battle has no boundary. Hallelujah. Saul was chained to Paul. Number four, it's going to give you a new identity. When you are in Christ, you are given a new identity. Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10, he said what? He said, you are a peculiar person. You are a priesthood. And there are certain things that a priest must not do. So when you are doing it, that means you haven't taken up that identity. Number five, it gives you a new destiny. If they have told you that you are not going to make it in life, it's now saying to you, I am stepping in, you can make it. If people are saying you are a failure, it's now saying that you are no more a failure because I'm rewriting the story of your life. That is your new destiny. That's in Philippians 3, 18 to 20. He gives you a new position. Ephesians 2, 6, and God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. A new position. It changes your position. Number 7, he gives you a new power. Just like the one I was saying, I used to have some useless powers. Then when he gave me power, when I received power, I'm not talking about for hearsay. Not hearsay. I mean power. I went to one of the first things that happened to me when I first gave my life to Christ. My auntie sent me to somewhere where they were having a building. I don't know how it happens, but I know that when people just generally just give their life to Christ, it's like if God said, jump from 16th floor, you jump because you just believe him. I went there, the builders were building, then suddenly it was going to rain and they mixed the cement and everything. They told me, Oga, it's going to be a waste of money. Once the rain falls, it will wash everything away. I said, Holy Spirit, I went into the bush and I began to pray. Father, seal the heaven. It did not rain. Now, when I came back, I didn't know what happened. I was just praying. They asked me, what happened? Who were you fighting with? You were hearing noise. I said, not from you. They said, from the bush. I said, okay, now I understand. I have an understanding. Don't worry about it. But it did not rain until we finished. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just saying it. I'm talking about actualizing the power. I'm talking about, I told a woman, a Caucasian recently in my place of work. I said, you cannot get involved in this matter. She said, why? I said, because you are a witch. One of my colleagues said, what have you just said? I said, she's a witch. I said, I know. And she know who I am. And she know that I know that she's a witch. She backed off the case and gave it to somebody else. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just coming and be talking. Recently, they told everybody to sign something in my place of work. I said to my line manager, I'm not signing. He said, well, I said, because I'm not signing. People came to me and said, is he troubling you? I said, no. He said, he's been sending message to us to sign it ASAP. I said, don't worry. We know ourselves. That is the kind of thing I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit can empower you. I'm sure my wife will remember this case. One day we're praying at home. And the Lord said to me, go to a place at Hare Hills. Go and meet a woman. I've never seen her before in my life. And I walk into the shop. And I said to her, this is what the Lord is saying. That you have been suffering. And she wants to take you away. If I told her, this is the amount of money that has been coming to your hand. I said, how the Lord is going to do it? I don't know. You remember the case I'm talking about, Lyle? And then we took the woman away. Somebody provided the house and everything for her. And then she relocated away from Leeds. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about power just to go and pray for job. Job is your benefit. It's part of what Christ has promised you. Take it. Hallelujah. We're running out of time. I can't dwell too much on power. The next one is I give you a new purpose. The way you have been thinking before has to change. Where people have been saying you are a failure, you face them and tell them, no, I'm not. Because my story has changed. Praise the Lord. For we are God, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Don't just come to the church and begin to warm the bench. What are you doing for God himself? Because of God, a role to play. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I won't be able to continue. Let's rise on our feet. Because our time is fast spent. Let's rise on our feet to pray. I want to believe that somebody's been blessed this morning. Amen. We're going to pray. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is to strip you naked and disgrace you. Praise the Lord. That's what we want to do. I remember I was listening to we're going to pray. I was listening to the story of a pastor who said he sold his house to travel abroad, and everything went wrong. And one day they call him. He has forgotten about it. To come and name a baby. And when he went there, he carried the baby and began to cry. And somebody said, why are you crying? He said, this house used to belong to me. But now I have nowhere to sleep. I sold it to travel abroad. But things went wrong. I was not able to make the journey. Now I'm left with nothing. That's a battle of disgrace. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself and say, Father, every battle of nakedness that the enemy has sent into my life. Come out by fire. Come out by fire. Every battle of nakedness that the enemy has sent into my life. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Second prayer point for you. I want you to pray this prayer very seriously. Hallelujah. Exodus 22 verse 18 says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You are going to say, Father, anyone that is alive and making my life unbearable, hit them with your broken rock in the name of Jesus. Hit them! Anyone that is making life unbearable for me, Father, hit them with your broken rocks. Hit them with your thunder. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And finally, but I don't know if there might be anyone here who have not had an encounter with Jesus. There's an opportunity for you. Let's close our eyes and say, Lord, I have come to you. Or you think you've been wandering away? Have mercy on me. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And with that in mind, I want us to begin to pray, final prayer, and say, Father, give me a new beginning. As the Lord, give me a new beginning. Give me a new beginning. Give me a new beginning. In the name of Jesus, Father, give me a new beginning. A new power. A new destiny. A newness of life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you. Bless your name. Holy Spirit, we magnify you. Eternal Rock of Ages, as we have heard your word, empower us, O Lord, to overpower every power that is tormenting us in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus wipe away every ordinance that is not of you in the name of Jesus. Any power that is standing on our way, O Lord, to testimony, let them be crushed in the name of Jesus. Father, give us testimony. Every one of us, give us testimony. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise.
We hope you've been blessed by the Word of God. The Word is brought to you by RCCG Power Connections, 236 Meanwood Road, Leeds, LS72AH. For more inquiries, you can call 078-513-3702 or send an email to info@rccgpowerconnectionsleeds.com. God bless you.